if you're relatively new to Woodland, you may not know that Thanksgiving is a very special holiday. I'm one that, if it's a ball game where I don't really know either team well, I'll always root for the underdog. I think that's maybe why I'm so drawn to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a month before Christmas, and I love Christmas and all that goes along with Christmas, but I really believe Thanksgiving always gets shortchanged. Thanksgiving has some of the best food, some of the best family time, and for believers, it's a time that should remind us of what we should be doing all year long in terms of recognizing where all good gifts come from. Today's passage, I believe, has a lot to say, though, for myself in particular. And as I spent time studying and preparing, I was convicted. Yes, I talk about Thanksgiving. Yes, I talk about how great it is. But am I truly able to be thankful in the way God calls me to? And so we're going to spend a little bit of time considering that today. Lord, help us to be thankful, to be full of thanks, not just to give lip service to that, not just to think about a list of things to rattle off to say, God, we're thankful you take care of us in this way, but from the depths of our heart and our soul, to be truly thankful because of recognizing who you are and who you desire to be in our lives. This prayer we ask in Jesus' name. So I believe in order for us to really experience Thanksgiving in the way it's intended, we need to answer a question that Joshua asked the Israelites thousands of years ago. And that question is, whom will you serve? Because you see, I don't believe that we can truly be thankful unless we are serving God as believers in the way that we're called to be. So, who are we serving? All of us are serving someone or something. And there are a lot of different options other than God to be serving. So I want to throw a few out. Some people serve their significant other, particularly if they're in that dating stage or becoming attracted to the opposite sex, and we can become so captured and captivated by what's going on that everything we do and think is centered on that person. That's one example. But then even after that, we can spend so much of our life serving our family. And you say, well, wait a minute, Greg, isn't that a good thing? Doesn't the Bible say that's what you're supposed to do? Yes, it does. In fact, it says the man is supposed to give himself to his wife as Christ gave himself for the church. So yes, we're supposed to serve in a significant way. But there's a problem that we get caught up in sometimes, I think. And that's that we spend time focusing on our family and we make our family more important than God. And nobody is going to criticize us for that. But then things start happening with our family, and we struggle with our family. Does anybody else have problems in their family? Or y'all's family's perfect? Because I used to think mine was, and then I thought again. And it's not. My guess is yours isn't either. And it's never going to be perfect, but if God is the one that we serve, and we put God first, and we put God before our families, which means putting God before your husband or your wife or your children or your mom or your dad, it will make a positive difference in the relationship with your family. But sometimes it's challenging to do that for whatever reason. Then there can be the one that's always thrown into the list, the temptation to serve money. And that temptation comes, it can come in the form of materialism or greed. And so what guides and drives us tends to be just whatever it takes to get our hands on stuff. or on putting bigger numbers in our checking account. But then there's another side to that too. And it kind of ties money and family together, because there's some people that they spend so much of their life and their focus and their purpose is on providing for their family. Is there anything wrong with providing for your family? No, the Scripture says we're to provide for our family. The problem is sometimes that becomes more important than God. So we begin to serve that idea, that ideal, instead of serving God. But when we serve God and we put that where it's supposed to be, I believe God enables us to provide for our families in ways we can't do by ourselves. Another one, power, comes a lot of times in the form of control. And we like that. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel important. And closely related to that can be prestige. Prestige can be what we serve and what drives us and what's most important. And that comes because we want to be known by lots of people. We want to be well liked. And so we do what it takes to make that happen. It's another surprising one for some people I'll throw into the list. Sometimes instead of serving God, people have a tendency to serve the church. You ever known anybody like that? Because there's different reasons that can happen, but I think a lot of times believers don't even realize what they're doing, and part of that is because they confuse a relationship with church with a relationship with God. They're not the same thing. The church is a tool. The church represents the body of Christ, and it's an important part of what it means to be a believer. We need to be a part of the church. And so I don't in any way take away from the importance of that. But if we focus on church without focusing on God and making God the priority, we become a religious country club. And it's not really what God wants us to be. So these different things that I've talked about, and some of them are really good, and it's a good thing to aspire to, but if those are the things that are most important, those are the things we base our life on, those things are going to let us down. And if we don't have God first, and God's not the one we're serving, we get confused, we get pulled off track, we can't understand why things are happening the way they are when we're trying to do all the right things. And you know what? We're doing these things, and we've been to church, we read our Bible, we pray. Well, you'll find out that it's not enough just to do those things and include God. We have to serve God first. So, for a minute, let's continue with the Scripture. In verses 16 through 18, there's a list here. It's a list of what God's people said they were thankful for, because Joshua asked them, "Who will you serve?" And they said, "We will serve God." And this is why. And they listed in verses 16 through 18 all the things God had done for them. I'm not going to reread that, but you might want to. The Israelites took stock of what God had done for them. I want to ask you now, and I want you to share. If ever there's an appropriate time, it's today and it's this season. I want you to truly state publicly what you're thankful to God for. What are you thankful for God from the past, the present, and what He's yet to do? What are you thankful for? Anyone? Family. What else? Healthy children. Not just children, but healthy children. You got your hand up, Seth? Okay. Godly parents. Who else? Yes. And you hear what Sue said? Blessings that we get each day, acknowledging that, and we take them for granted. What else? new opportunities to serve. Veterans who served our country. Very good. Forgiving us when we mess up. I don't know about y'all, but I'll second that one. I need it. Time we're giving to share with others. Who else? Two more. Brenda. Amen. God's presence with us 24/7. One more. Who else? Friendship and fellowship. Very good. So, we've listed several things that we're thankful for. And one of my points was, Sue's already said it, we shouldn't take these things for granted. So if we're not going to take them for granted, how do we express our thanksgiving? How do we express it genuinely? And I want to think for a minute. Imagine, and I know in my parents' generation this is a big deal, and I'm wondering how you all feel about it, but suppose you have given a gift to someone for graduation or for a wedding. Is there ever any appropriate expectation of something you receive back after giving the gift? A letter, a thank you note. And it may be that you can say, well, they don't really have to do that. But I expect even if you say that, you appreciate it when you get something in the mail acknowledging what you've done. And you know, I could easily say, you know, really? They've graduated. They've got their life in front of them. They're figuring out what they're going to do, either going to college or what their next job is. Do they really need to take time to write a thank you note? Or they just got married and they're going away on a trip and they've got all it. Do they really need to take time to write a thank you note? The other side of that is, did the person care enough to take time to think about them? To care for them? And what does it do to a relationship when that thanksgiving is shared appropriately? It does make a difference. It is worth the time and effort and energy. So what are the different ways we thank each other? One is through thank you notes. We also thank each other through personal, just face-to-face with a conversation. We can also thank each other through our actions, through what we do. Well, that leads me to my next thing of asking, how do we go about thanking God appropriately? Let's use some of the examples we just talked about for each other. Now, I don't know where you would send it, where you would put the address for if you were going to mail a letter to God as a thank you note. Can't really do that. But there's a discipline that some people have talked about. I've talked to some recently. It's called journaling. And you don't really send it anywhere, but journaling, you can write down your thoughts and have a conversation with God and maybe even allow God to speak back and write back some of what you think God may say. And so there's a conversation there. And I know a lot of people say, well, that's just not my thing. And I'm not even one that does that note writing thing you were talking about. But I challenge you, if you've never done it, consider it. Maybe just try it once or twice and see if it has any type of impact on your connection to God. Journal. Just writing things down. Writing prayers down. Writing thoughts down. Writing desires down. Writing your thank yous down. This Thanksgiving. But it's not just that. We talked about just how we communicate with each other and thanking somebody face to face. Worship should include thanksgiving. And not just this Sunday, it should be every Sunday. Our praise and worship, our songs that we sing, when we come here and what we hear from God's Word should inspire us on a regular basis to be thankful for what God does. And I don't mean just the things that God gives us, but I mean who God is, who God creates us to be. And it even says many times in Scriptures we're to thank God for the challenges that we face. We need to learn how to do that. And then finally, our actions. Now, what could we do for God as a thank you? God doesn't need anything from us, but Scripture says, when you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. God calls us to serve each other, and as we are serving others, we also serve Him. It's putting things into action. So, we've learned through this small passage of Scripture today how we go about being thankful. But it's surprising a little bit. I'd forgotten about this twist when I began studying the Scripture, because the people had said, yes, I want, God's important. I'm going to serve God. God's going to be the one that we're going to serve. And I think most, if not all of us here, would have said that. We had asked, who are you going to serve? And I think you would probably raise your hand and said, for me and my house, it'll be the Lord. And this is what the people there said, but Joshua came back and told the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. They just said they were, and they listed all these reasons and why they were thankful, much like we just did. And I think they meant it. But Joshua continued and said, He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you. You can't serve two masters. And so there are a lot of times as believers we'll say, yes, we serve God. Yes, God's important. But then these other things that we mentioned, whatever it may be in that list from the beginning, we have times that those things are what control us. Those things are how we make the decisions. And then we come over here and we let God have this part. So we're choosing what God gets to decide and what we get to decide. And Joshua is saying it doesn't work that way. God doesn't go for that. You can't serve God and serve another master as well. God doesn't allow it. So, I believe that this may be calling us to really think about whether we mean what we're saying or not. So this begs the question again, will you really serve the Lord? In verse 21 it said, Joshua says, the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. And it's in the interpretation here, there's an exclamation point after the no. No, we will serve the Lord. We mean it. And it continues in verse 22, then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord and obey Him. So, if you say today that you're going to serve the Lord, do you mean it? And I don't mean do you mean it while you're sitting here. Do you mean it for tomorrow? Do you mean it when you're having conversations with your boss? Do you mean it when you're trying to find a parking space at Walmart? Do you mean it when you're faced with some of the struggles of family over the holidays? Because you can't pick and choose what it means to serve the Lord. And so it comes down to verse 25. It's what we call a promise. In our family, promises are a big deal. I hope they are for you too. Used to be, I don't know if people still say it a lot before, but say it a lot now, but there's a saying, you mean what you say and you say what you mean. And your word is your word. And so when somebody in my family says that they're going to do something, no matter how big or how small, if they don't follow through on that, it's a letdown. And we've even talked about how it generates a break in relationship. And there are a lot of times you'll tell somebody that you're going to do something, and it's to make them feel good and to feel special, and it does in that time. But then if you don't follow through with it, they feel a whole lot worse than they ever did feel good. So we have to be careful. Verse 25 reads, "On the day Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws." If you're a believer here today, you've already made a promise to God. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you did just that. You accepted Him as your Lord. And you cannot have more than one Lord. I don't know how you understood that when you first made that decision, but that's what it meant, that He's Lord of your life, and He's Lord of your life 24/7. That's what it means to be a Christian. The Israelites messed up again and again, and they had to learn this lesson over and over, and I fear we do too. So I ask you today, are you willing to make that promise and mean it? To reestablish the covenant relationship that God desires with you, based on the fact He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, what we should be paying for. Are you truly thankful to the point that you will serve the One who gave it? I'm going to ask our praise team to come. We're going to close with "Serve the Lord with Gladness." Who are you going to serve? How are you going to go about doing that? And I don't have the answer for that, but if you seek God, He will show you. He will direct you. The altar's open. If you don't have a relationship with God, I'd love to talk to you about that today. It will change your life forever from this day forward. If you do have a relationship with God, celebrate this Thanksgiving the way it's intended to be celebrated. Be thankful from the depths of your heart in the way that you can only be thankful when you're serving our one and only God. Let's stand together and sing, "Serve the Lord with